This is Palm Sunday. And we're reading this as the second saying from the cross that Christ had. And it talks about, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." At his birth, Christ was surrounded by the beasts of the field. Now, in his death, he is flanked by the beasts of humanity, the thieves. But it's no accident that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, was crucified between two thieves. Turn with me to Mark chapter 15, and I want to compare some scripture with you. Remember that God's in charge of the entire scene, and God foresaw this, and God predicted it. In Isaiah 53, 700 years before, it was prophesied that the Messiah would be numbered with the transgressors. Little did Pilate know that he was fulfilling prophecy when he ordered Christ to be crucified between two thieves. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 27, "And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." The prophecy from Isaiah 53, 12, that he would be numbered with the transgressors, is fulfilled in his being crucified between the two thieves. That's what Mark 15 says. So this was no accident. This was part of God's plan all the way back, 700 years before, and we can predict that, we can say that it was farther beyond that, but 700 years before, we knew that Jesus Christ would be slain between two thieves. It was prophesied. So, and by the way, with God, there are no accidents. No accidents. God has a purpose for everything he does. Everything that he allows, he has a purpose. And Christ was crucified between two thieves because this was God's plan. Salvation is amazing wherever and whenever it occurs. For example, I was 8 years old. I was saved in a church camp in Rothfuss Park in Hillsdale, Michigan, at age 8. The Apostle Paul was saved when he saw a light, heard a voice, saw the Lord, received Christ on the road to Damascus. Ethan received Christ last Sunday morning right here. Don Meckley, for him it happened in his home when two soul winners went by and visited him. Each conversion is unique and amazing. Right. Listen to me, each conversion is amazing. Right. But you would never think that the thief could be converted while he is dying on the cross beside Christ. I mean, this one, you'd have to admit, was truly amazing. Now I want you to consider several amazing things about the thief's conversion. Several amazing things about the thief's conversion. First of all, the scene at Calvary that day, that was amazing. The scene was amazing. Turn back to Luke chapter 23 with me, and we'll be looking around at a number of verses here. What an unlikely atmosphere for anyone to be saved in. Here's what was going on. First of all, both thieves heard the mob as they railed on Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 37, we read about the soldiers who mocked him and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And they're mocking him. We read about the people and the rulers who chimed in verse 35, Luke 23, 35. "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And so we have confusion going on. Turn with me to Matthew 27. This was not the same as Palm Sunday. This was not the pep rally that they had for Christ as he entered into the city in the triumphant entry earlier in the week. No, this was pandemonium now. As he hung on the cross and the two thieves, one on either side, this was pandemonium. They mocked him. They railed on him, derided him. This time of the year around here, around this area right here, there's a lot of yelling and cheering going on for all the basketball tournaments. Now, the scene at Calvary was a sort of cheering section at the implementing of the death sentence on Jesus Christ. It was inhumane what was going on that day toward our Lord and Savior. And both thieves hung there, hearing it all and seeing it all. This was the scene. This was the atmosphere in which the second saying of Christ on the cross was said. In Matthew 27 and verse 41, even the thieves were caught up in it. They got wound up in this whole thing. You know, that's the way it works with a mob or with a crowd. And sometimes we go along with things we shouldn't go along with sinfully. And that's what happened here. In Matthew 27, 41, likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and the elders, that's all the leaders, spiritual leaders of Israel, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him, which was a lie. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. That is, let God deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now watch this in verse 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. That is, they chimed in. That is, they repeated it. They said, yeah, yeah, why is it that you don't come down off the cross if you're the Son of God? And they chimed right in with all the people and the leaders of that day and the soldiers. The confidence in Jesus being the Messiah and the King and the Savior was at an all-time low in amidst the jeers and the mockings of the people, and the thieves were caught up. His poll numbers in today's vernacular had dropped like a rock. He wasn't popular at that point. What an unlikely situation for God to save anyone. As all of this is going on, what an unlikely, a doubtful scene that God would save anyone. Also consider about the thieves. You know, the thieves, you think about it, they had some things in common, a number of things in common. They were both Jews. They were both thieves. They were deserving of their punishment. Both of them were. In other words, they were guilty. They were suffering as they were hanging there talking to Christ. They were dying as they were there. But both were urgently needing forgiveness. Both could hear and see what was happening all around them. Both railed on Christ with the crowd. Both were near to Christ enough that they could hear each other. Both had access to Christ, and yet one doubted and the other believed. One scoffed, but the other trusted. One's eyes were blinded, but the other one's eyes were opened. It's amazing today that two can sit in a congregation like this and hear the same songs and the same testimonies and the everything, the choir numbers, the same preaching, the same plea. Two can hear. And one will mock and say, no way. No way am I doing that. And the other will humble themselves and say, yes, to Christ. It's amazing that with two people, one can say no and the other say yes. But that's exactly what happened in this scene on the cross. They had much in common until they met Christ. Did you hear me? They had much in common until they met Christ, and then it changed. Go back to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23 again. Notice what the first thief's statement was in verse 39. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors, by the way, that's the pronunciation, malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Malefactor means a felon. It means one who breaks the law, one of the malefactors. Now, do you hear doubt in what he is saying when he says, if thou be the Christ. Do you hear his selfishness in what he is saying when he says, save thyself and us? It's all about saving us. Get us off this cross. Save our lives. It's all about the physical in us. Do you hear the mockery in so far as he is basically saying, prove to us that you're Christ? The mockery. The first thing we notice is what an amazing scene for the second of Christ's seven sayings from the cross. And what an amazing scene for someone to get saved in. I mean, it was pandemonium. I've been in those situations where I was dealing with somebody and it became pandemonium. But God is good. God can save even in that kind of an atmosphere. We've seen him do it. Number two, the other thief's confession was amazing. We've got the first thief and what he said, his statement, save thyself and us if thou be the Christ. But now look at the other thief's confession, and it's brief, but it's amazing. In chapter 23 of Luke and verse 40, what a stand he took, if you consider this. It says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? After everyone else was mocking, including his cohort, and after he himself had joined into the mocking, this other thief comes to the point where he's had enough. I wonder if you've come to the point where you've had enough. You've had enough of people making fun of Christ and making fun of the gospel, making fun of Bible believers and making fun of churches. You've had enough and you've heard the truth and you want the truth. He rebukes the first thief. That's quite a stand. It's a remarkable turn of events as they both prepare to die. They're both hanging there. They're both suffering and ready to die. And he quit listening to the crowd. And he started to think for himself. Now, I'll tell you what. That'll be a great day when you quit listening to the crowd. And you start thinking for yourself and on your own two feet as the gospel's presented. And you look at yourself, you say, you know what, that's exactly what I need. He died on the cross for me. I need to receive him as Savior. What a great day that'll be in your life too. It was a great day in his life. But let's go on. Notice that the other thief believed in a future life and judgment for sins. For he said, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And then he acknowledged Christ's sinlessness. He said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He acknowledged that Christ was sinless. Christ's life was well known. He had a reputation. The Bible says that even a child is known by his doings. That means every one of us have a reputation. What's your reputation? Did you know that Jesus Christ can change your reputation? You may have a reputation as somebody you wouldn't want all of us to hear about. But Christ can change all of that in a moment of time when you receive him as Savior. He can change your trademark. When I went to college, they talked about a trademark. And the first year of college, there are only several opportunities in life to change your trademark. And I changed my trademark when I went to college. Instead of being shy, backward, all of that, I tried to be more forward and be more amicable and talk to people and so forth. I changed my trademark. But there's a much bigger changing of a trademark, and that's when you come to Jesus Christ. He can change your life altogether. So how's your reputation today? He said that the reputation of Christ that he knew about was that he had done nothing amiss. He acknowledged his own sinfulness. He said, and we indeed justly, this is verse 41, justly, For we receive the due reward of our deeds. He admitted that they had sinned. This thief admitted, I have sinned. I deserve to die. And friend, no person can be saved who will not admit that they're a sinner. You've got to come to the place where you are willing to face yourself in a mirror and say, I have sinned. There's nobody who has not sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. There's none righteous, no, not one. Not one, not even one. Not even me, not even you. Romans 3:10. So he admitted that he had sinned. What an amazing confession. This guy is ready to die. This guy is up on the cross right next to Christ in this atmosphere where everybody is against Christ. And he is talking to Christ about his soul and talking to this other guy, the other thief, about, and that other thief could hear him talking to him and saying, you know what, we deserve this, but this guy doesn't. Christ doesn't. He directed his words then toward Christ. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 42, it says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Unlike the first thief who showed doubt in saying, if thou be Christ, this other thief addressed Christ with the acknowledgement of Christ's position of being Lord. He addressed him as Lord. It wasn't if you are Lord, it is Lord. He addressed him properly. He believed that Jesus was Lord. He cried to Jesus in verse 42, remember me. That was his cry. This shows that he believed that Jesus was Savior, that Jesus had a kingdom and was able to remember him when he reached that kingdom. He was going to leave there and go to an afterlife into his kingdom, and he wanted to be remembered. He wanted Christ to remember him when Christ got there. Think of it. Only the Savior could remember a wretch of a sinner like this thief. And the thief knew that that was his only hope. He's wiser than some that I've known. He deserved a reprimand, not a remembering. He deserved death, not life. He deserved punishment, not the pleasantries of heaven. It's amazing. Everyone was watching the other thief as he talked now. No one else was asking for salvation in that scene on Calvary that day. Not one soldier do we read about. Not one scribe or Pharisee or Sadducee or someone of the people asking to be... Just the thief was the only one. This is amazing. But with courage, he defied the crowd with its peer pressure and dared to say, Lord, remember me. And some of you perhaps need to overcome the same peer pressure of the crowd, of the wrong influence crowd, maybe of your family even. Quit listening to the crowd. Dare to step out from your seat this morning and come to the front and take Christ as your Savior. Don't be afraid of it. He wasn't afraid of it. He's in front of this crowd that was against Christ, but he still said it. You're in the midst of a crowd that loves Christ. You shouldn't be afraid. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42 once again. He believed in Jesus as the coming king. What an amazing confession for this thief who has never followed Christ, a Jewish thief. Only a king has a kingdom. Did you hear me? Right. Only a king has a kingdom. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So he acknowledged Christ as king. Some say I be saved, but I want to understand more first. Listen, this thief didn't understand a great deal, But what he did understand led him to Christ. He had enough truth to come to Christ that day. If he had waited until he knew more, he would have died. He's close to death right now as he hangs on the cross. And he would have gone to hell. You don't have to know more. I say, you'll learn more later. You need to receive Christ now. You know enough to be saved right now. He didn't put it off because he wanted to learn more. The other thief trusted the dying Savior in Christ's weakest moment of mockery and abuse. But God invites you to this morning to trust a risen and a glorified Savior today. He's exalted at the right hand of the Father according to the Scriptures. And you're invited to come to that Christ today. The thief had very little exposure or understanding or knowledge. We have a completed Bible. And he did not. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the church. We have preachers and teachers and CDs and books and on it goes. And yet many will still not trust Christ as Savior. It's more the rebellion of the heart that won't come to Christ to be saved than the fact that I don't know enough. The scene at Calvary is truly amazing. The other thief's confession, boy, that was amazing in that atmosphere. Now turn with me to John chapter 6. And notice finally, the salvation that Christ gave him was amazing. The salvation that Christ gave to the thief was amazing. I want you to see that Jesus did not say to him, boy, oh boy, this is a pity. If you'd have just asked me a week ago, I could have saved you. He didn't say that. Why didn't Jesus say that? In John chapter 6 and verse 37, the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That means reject. He won't reject. Jesus didn't say to him, if only I could baptize you, you could be saved. Why didn't Jesus say that? Because baptism doesn't save. It is not necessary for you to be baptized in order for you to be saved. Jesus and this thief were about to die on their crosses. Jesus didn't have access to water to baptize him or the ability to take him down and baptize him. He didn't say to the soldiers, listen, fellas, this guy wants to be saved. Would you mind just taking me down for a few minutes so that I could baptize him? No. If we have to baptize to be saved, this thief was bound to go to hell. Now, in Titus chapter 3, turn there with me, Titus chapter 3, it goes Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, in alphabetical order. Jesus didn't say to him, I'm sorry, Mr. Thief. You will have to perform many good works. Or your good works will have to outweigh your sin. Or you'll have to be a leader in the church, and there's not enough time for that. Sorry about that. Boy, I would have liked to save you if you just had some good works. He didn't say that. Why didn't Jesus say that? Because verses like Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Listen, you can't merit salvation. You can't earn it. We're used to earning. We're Americans. We go out and we earn our way, and that's as it should be, and that's biblical. But when it comes to salvation, Jesus earned it. Jesus paid the price for our salvation. And we receive it by grace and according to God's mercy. We'll never get to the place where we deserve salvation. Rather, it works like this so that we can understand now. I have sinned. Because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell. Christ died in my place on the cross. He suffered my hell for me on the cross. Hell hath thirst. Christ said on the cross, I thirst. And while he was on the cross, everything turned to darkness. Hell hath darkness. And on, he suffered my hell for me on the cross. Then he arose from the grave, and he ever lives today at the right hand of the Father, praying for me and for you, in making intercession. And I avoid hell and am promised heaven if I repent of my sin and accept his sacrifice for my sin. This thief deserved hell. He did not deserve to be saved. He did not deserve to be remembered. He did not deserve to go to paradise or to be in heaven today. He didn't. But salvation is by grace. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's undeserved. It's nothing you can earn. Now, that's amazing. That's amazing. Have you ever thought of this? The first Adam became a thief. And he took the forbidden fruit of the tree. He was expelled from the Garden of Eden because of his thievery, because of his sin. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, turned to the repentant thief on the tree and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He saved the thief. The thief was just acting out what his father, Adam, had taught him. The sin nature was acting out in him. But Jesus gave him a new nature right there on the cross. There's a couple of things that you have to see before we're finished today. One is, I want you to notice the timing. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43 now, we'll finish all the verses now in Luke. I'll be referring to another one, but we won't turn there. Luke 23, 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, when? The timing is today. Why? Because they were going to die today. And when you die, you immediately go to where you've been going, your destination, all along. Today, the timing is today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. And Paul said, in 2 Corinthians 6, 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the day today for you to be saved. Just like that was the day for the thief to be saved. Christ will save your soul today if you will come to him believing. Not only the timing, but notice secondly, the certainty. He said, shalt thou. Or in other words, thou shalt. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's not if, it's not I hope you'll be there. It's not I think maybe you'll be there. No, it's certain you will be there. And you can be sure that you're going to heaven when you die by trusting Jesus Christ as your only Savior. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says these things. Have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, listen, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. We go out and we talk to a lot of people, knock on doors, and a lot of people say, well, I just don't think that you can know. Oh, you're so mistaken. He wrote to us so that we could know. So that we could have that assurance. So that we could rest our head on a pillow at night and know if we didn't wake up here, we wake up in heaven. There is a certainty. Then, thirdly, I want you to notice not only the timing and the certainty, but notice the fellowship. Jesus said in 23 and verse 43, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Heaven is where Jesus is. That's where my father is, my dad, who died 10 or 12 years ago. That's where he is. That's where your saved loved ones are. And that's where I want to be at the end of this life, don't you? Now, it's amazing that Christ will save us from hell and forgive all of our wicked deeds just in a moment of time and give us a reservation to his beautiful heaven. That I don't deserve, he'll give it to me. It's truly an amazing salvation. Amen. Notice also that this is the only so-called deathbed conversion in the Bible. This is the only time you'll find it. And the thief didn't plan it that way. Someone says, I've got it all figured out. I'm going to live like the devil my whole life. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to have everything that's wicked and worldly that there is. And right before I die, I'm going to cry out to God, and God will be obligated to save me. There are two problems with that kind of thinking. One is, we don't know when our last minute will be. And secondly, the dying thief was saved at his first opportunity to be saved. We ought to therefore follow his example and take our first opportunity to trust Christ as our Savior. Notice that the salvation in this story, this second saying of Christ, notice that salvation is not a process. You don't get a little bit saved today and a little bit more next week, and you just keep getting a little more and more saved, and hopefully you get the whole ball of wax before you get to heaven. Rather, salvation is an instantaneous, one-time experience when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust Him and Him alone to completely save your soul. It happens in a moment of time. It's not progressive. You can be saved today. In this moment of time, right now, you can be saved. You may have come here lost, but you can leave here saved. You may have lived your whole life for the devil. That whole thing can change today. Today, in a moment of time, instantaneously, because salvation is not a process. You haven't always kind of been saved. There's one day. It's birth. I was born October the 27th, 1951, at about 8 in the morning. How do you know that? I've got a birth certificate. My mother keeps telling me about it. She still calls me her baby. 60 years old. I'm a 60-year-old baby. Anyway, there was a day when I was born. Are you listening? There was a day when you were born. Being saved is called in the Bible being saved. Born again. Well, if we follow the illustration, that can only happen at a moment in time. It could happen today. It could happen today. And if it happens, you'll never forget it. Finally, notice that the thief couldn't turn to the religious leaders in his day. He couldn't turn to the priest or denomination or a church. To save him, he had to face Christ and Christ alone. I wonder, have you ever turned to Jesus and asked him to save you? Instead of relying on your religious roots. Instead of saying, oh yeah, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a whatever. Instead of that whole line of reasoning, which doesn't mean a thing to God. Instead of that, have you ever turned to Christ and asked Him to save your soul? Just as the dying thief did, you could do that, and you could do it right now. It was right now for the thief. It's right now for you. Today is the day of salvation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around now. Christ's second saying from the cross. Death is real. And we don't know when our time is up. You don't have to be old to die. Anybody can die. And that means that we need to become serious about our preparation for heaven, and we need to be serious today. In his earthly ministry, Christ invited folks to believe on him and be saved. So, today, preachers and churches extend the same invitation to folks who hear them. Christ wants you to accept that invitation today. If I gave you an invitation to a party, I'd half be upset if you wouldn't come. Well, Christ would really be upset because the alternative is hell. I wonder this morning, will you acknowledge like this thief did that you have sinned? He said, we deserve this. We know we've sinned. We're guilty. Are you willing to do that? That's the first step. We've all broken God's laws. We've all sinned. Then, if we have sinned, we deserve hell. And God says, that means that you need a Savior. You need someone to save you from going to hell. Even the thief knew that on the cross. Christ is the only Savior who's been accepted and authorized by God to save us. No man on earth, only Christ. I wonder who would say, I want Christ as my Savior today. You said it can happen in a moment of time. It can happen today. I want to quit putting it off. Quit making my excuses. I want to take Christ as my Savior today. Could I see your hands? There's somebody like that in the building today. I want to take Christ as my Savior. Let me see your hand. Nobody's looking around. It's between you, me, and God. Could I see your hand? I wonder if there's somebody who would say, Pastor, boy, just hearing the Bible preached again, I can realize in my heart that I've backslidden. I can realize that I'm not where I ought to be, and I need to draw near to God again today. Today. Not put it off, but I need to do it today while the Holy Spirit is stirring my heart. Is there somebody like that in this building? Let me see your hand. Someone? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you now for your word. We appreciate, Lord, how that you've made it plain to us that we can study it and we can draw out the nuggets and the truths and live our lives by what we read. We pray, oh God, that you will help someone here who, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that before this day is over, they'll receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen. 506.